As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
How about the fact that the rest of the Eastern Conference should go into a rebuild, that the Florida Panthers just get their back? I mean, are you surprised? I mean, I'm kind of surprised that all three got done.
I'm not surprised that they wanted to do it, Mike. Some teams are like, we're not going to be able to do it. To me, Bennett was the closest no-doubter, and that one got first. I really thought Marshawn wanted to stay, and he would maneuver things to stay, and that's what happened.
Keith here on WEEI. Mego in for Keith today. Brad Marchand said no to leaving Florida. That includes potentially meeting with the Boston Bruins in free agency. Yes, Mego?
Do you think he did this a little prematurely? He hasn't spent an entire summer in Florida yet. Just in terms of the climate.
Like he doesn't
down
understand
there.
Like the
everybody loves
the
Florida
humidity.
In February.
Yeah, that's true. It's a
everybody
good point.
Goes down to Florida in February from Boston and they go, maybe I should live here.
Yeah, he hasn't
everybody
even,
does that.
Hasn't even had to deal with alligator Alcatraz yet. He hasn't even had to do that yet.
What's alligator Alcatraz?
It's a whole nother
you
story.
Know, well,
a detention facility down in Florida they're building. Yeah.
You know my feelings on alligators.
Yes.
Totally overrated predators.
Oh, yeah,
you could outrun them. Yeah.
How about that for a take?
All you have to do is zigzag. That's all they can't.
Where
zigzag.
Our president told us that this
where,
morning.
Where are heat wave hot takes? That's a heat wave hot take. You think
what
you could
mean?
Outrun an alligator?
Oh, absolutely, like 1,000%. If there's somebody who has exotic animals in the area and wants me to outrun an alligator, I'll do it for charity.
You'll do it for charity?
Yeah, I can do it. I
for
promise
charity,
you.
You can just do it for fun.
No, we have to raise money for this, make it an event. Don't you know anything about how this business works? But we'll do it for charity.
Gemini. Google AI tells me that in a short burst, they can run up to 35 miles an hour.
Okay.
In a short burst.
What's
I don't know
a short
that
burst?
Is.
Again,
average
it's not
running
about,
speed is around 11 miles an hour.
It's not about running, about how you can just take off. They can't zigzag.
Yeah, well, what if they just get you on the takeoff? What if you can't even get away because they're 35 miles an hour
you
out
make,
of the gate?
You make one hard cut, like your Steph Diggs coming back from that ACL, and the alligator won't know what to do. The alligator, that's why we are the apex predator over the alligators. That's why we've tamed them. That's why we have crocodile hunters.
I do like this.
Otherwise, alligators would be the ones running the planet.
I do like this item from the Google AI. They're built for water.
Yeah, there you
alligators
go.
Are much
I can't,
more.
I can't outtake them in the water. I can't overtake them in the water.
Alligators are much more agile and faster in the water. Oh, thanks. Reaching
that's
speeds of up to 20 miles an hour in the
water. What?
The water.
All fat kids say that they're great swimmers.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want to mess with a hippo.
They can be even faster without the shirt on in the pool. But yeah, 11 miles an hour and up to 35 miles an hour. You think you could outrun it?
First of all, they're talking about like the fastest alligator in the world.
Yeah, well, you might.
They're saying that's what they can
reach. The Usain Bolt of alligators?
Yeah. I'm not pretending like I'm the Usain Bolt of
human beings.
Of 30-something women running from alligators.
Right.
But I could outrun an alligator. Your average alligator, you put it out there, I'm going to be more elite than it, especially when I get to cutting.
It's a good point, though. Brad Marchand has not had to experience a full Florida summer.
Yeah.
So touche. Maybe he jumped the gun there. I thought you were going to ask, did he wait out like his offers? I'm sure he knew what was out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knew there was a massive offer from Utah. I'm sure he knew there was a massive offer from Toronto. I'm sure he knew there was a fake offer from Boston. It is funny, though. He took less than Boston was even offering him on the way out the door. And many, many people on the text line pointed this out earlier. And it's a fair thing to point out. With the millionaire's tax here and no,
stop.
No, it's fair.
No, it's not.
No state income tax in Florida. The take
home. That's more fair.
Okay, the take home is going to be different. So I get that. But just to play it out, he could have made more money, maybe not a higher take home, but more in salary from the Bruins before he even left. And he's now taking less from Florida.
What was the
to remain
term
with
on the
Panthers.
Bruins, though? What was the term on
good point.
The Bruins?
I think from what we had heard, it was like 6-3 over 3 years, something like that. He's taken 5.5 over 6.
Well, because that's the really shocking thing about this. It's not that he's going back to Florida, we said yesterday that that was high likelihood that he would even take, if he's taking a deal from anybody, it'd be go back to the Panthers and try to three-peat, try to be part of this historical dynasty in the NHL and have that as a feather in his cap. But for 6 years to be playing till he's 43 years old, like, that is a very unusual term. And I wonder if anybody else in the NHL was offering him that. Boston sure as hell could not have been offering him that because they didn't do it before.
Nope.
And do you think that the front office really watched his Stanley Cup run and were like, he's going to come back and do that for us?
No, I never thought that, but I know a lot of Bruins fans were talking themselves into
it. Yeah, but they're fans.
Mego, he has his home in Charlestown. His kid is here. His kids are here. Like, of course he's coming back. He never wanted to leave in the first place. Wrong. Here's what I would say.
Has he had the espresso martini at Prima?
I don't know. Good question. But I would say it just proves that it was bad at the end with Marchand. To me, that's what this proves. Like, he could have taken a discount to come back here. It proves it was bad at the end.
Or it was great in Florida.
He didn't come back. It proves that as well. It was great in Florida. He has another chance at a cup. They're a budding dynasty. So he didn't come back. He wasn't going to come back because it was bad at the end. It was bad between him and Pasta, regardless of what they say. I think he personally forced his way to Florida with his no movement clause. He didn't go out west. I guarantee the Bruins didn't want to send him in the division to the defending cup champs. That's not where they wanted him. They didn't want this scenario where he's shaking his ass in their face and spending a day with the Stanley Cup in our backyards. They didn't want that. They wanted him out west where no one was going to pay attention. He wasn't going to contend. They probably didn't want him with Cassidy in Vegas, but I'm sure the Kings would have been ideal. They would have loved for him to go sign in Utah. So he's out of their face. And he forced his way to Florida. And now he's staying there. And I just think it's more proof that it was bad here. It underscores Keith Scoop was right. And now I wonder what the Bruins are doing this offseason. Free agency is in swing a little bit. We told you earlier, Nikola Ehlers.
Is it Ehlers or Ehlers?
I don't know. I'm probably butchering it. Whatever. But he's one of the top targets out there for the Bruins. I think they took themselves out of the mix for him and Besser with the Arvidsson trade. Bruins swung that earlier. So you have, you hope, a middle six forward, a guy who's been a 30-goal scorer before. They're retaining the full salary. So they go from about $13 million to a little less than $9 million. In cap space. We'll see what else they do. Ehlers sounds like it's going to drag out and maybe play out over a couple of days, according to Elliot Friedman. He also says that Brock Besser is back in Vancouver, which is weird. 7 years, $7.25 million, he is back with the Canucks. So that's a guy who I thought it was bad with him and Pedersen. Nick, wasn't it? It was borderline Marchand and Pasta-esque with those two, wasn't it?
I don't remember which one left the Canucks last year, but so, they like took time away from the team and then came back.
So here's what I wonder. If they're re-signing Besser, does that mean they're going to turn around and flip Pedersen?
Actually, no. I think it got bad with JT Miller.
Oh,
he's
was
gone.
It Miller?
I don't think he's there anymore.
It was Miller. It wasn't Besser. You're right. It was Miller. So, okay. So Besser is back in Vancouver. 7 years, $7.25 million. So never mind. Scratch the Pedersen thing if you were hoping he'd get spun off. But that is the payday there for one of the top targets out there. If you didn't sign Arvidsson, 7.25 feels like you could have been in the mix for that. Other than that, not much happening in free agency to this point.
You still could be in the mix for that.
7.25? I mean, technically, but then...
You're getting close.
You have nothing else left to sign. You need bodies
at
some point.
But this is why even that signing or that trade makes it look like because you're taking on the whole salary, you're going to be collecting a couple of guys like that. You're not going to be going in on one of these guys. Like, you're probably not going to be in on Ehlers. You're going to be going in on a couple of these guys to fill out these lines.
Well, and that now tells me exactly that. I mean, that's what the Arvidsson trade said. Right before free agency started, they were going to be out on these top guys, and they were probably never in on any of them to begin with. One other bit of news here, Mego, that just came down. This is from the world of football, college football. Headline, Pro Football Talk. Bill Belichick's boss, Bubba Cunningham, will leave UNC next year. Bill Belichick will have a new boss in 2026. North Carolina AD Bubba Cunningham will leave the school next summer.
She is my muse, my flame.
You remember he's the guy who cut the sleeves off at the press conference, right?
Bubba was all about Belichick.
And he was the chair of the selection committee for the NCAA tournament this year. Bubba Cunningham at UNC. He's going to be replaced by RFK Racing president Steve Newmark.
By what racing president?
RFK Racing president. I don't know what RFK Racing is. Can someone Google that? It's got to be NASCAR or something like that.
So that's just like making sure that there's no food additives in the
there's no oil. No seed oils at Talladega. he'll report to Cunningham.
It's Roush Fenway.
RFK is Roush Fenway?
Yep.
That's what they call it? RFK Roush? Okay.
Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing.
All right. Do some Googling on Steve Newmark. I don't know anything about him. But if he's local, yes, if he's local, he might be pro. Sorry about that. He might be pro.
Hop.
He might be pro Belichick because Cunningham was not. He'll report to Cunningham and focus on driving revenue primarily for the football team and women's basketball revenue. Team. There's a possible story behind the story, writes Florio.
No way.
About which many will be curious, especially since Cunningham may not have wanted to hire Belichick to coach the football team. Remember, there was some disagreement over bringing in Bill. It was the boosters and people in charge of the NIL cash at North Carolina were in conflict with the chancellor, the AD. Like, people were all over the board on Belichick. He says, is this a change Belichick wanted? And did he perhaps engineer it? Obviously, he currently has the power in Chapel Hill, as confirmed by the fact he can write a $1 million check whenever he wants to leave the Tar Heels high and dry. That passed on, what was it, June 1st? Regardless, the power dynamics will be dramatically changing for North Carolina, which means they'll also change for UNC football. So what does it mean for Bill? Maybe Bill's carving out some power at UNC. I thought he was maybe one and done.
I definitely thought he was one and done. So this makes me wonder if he's seeing some kind of longer play there. If he's going to be there for 3 years, then he doesn't want this guy hanging around, and he's basically forced him out after this 1 year.
Right. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Ooh, let's go racing today, boys.
Bill hasn't even coached a game at UNC. You got Jordan stomping all over the field in her boots, and now Bubba Cunningham is out. Bill probably is winning a power struggle down there is probably what's going on.
Do you think
she
overall,
is my muse, my flame.
Overall, this is beneficial to UNC still, right? I mean, they've got so many eyeballs on this program, and it's a basketball school. Even though it looks highly dysfunctional, and this guy seems to be quitting over the situation, it's like a net positive for the school still, right? Like, do you think that people from the school feel like it's become a joke?
Yes.
I think overall it's still a positive for the football program.
I don't know. I mean, let's see, I guess.
I think in today's climate, like, marketing is everything, and this is just constant free marketing.
Yeah, I would. If they're successful on the field, then you'll be right. I mean, a lot is going to be determined. Not to be overly obvious.
If you're in the science lab sciences department at UNC, you probably don't love it. But if you're in athletics, you probably think this is putting us in the news all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have more eyeballs on you than ever before.
Right now. But if he's 4-8, it's going to feel a lot different. So, I mean, not to be overly simplistic, but it matters how they are on the field this year. 617-779-7937. You can discuss the latest on the happenings at UNC. We'll get back to the Celtics and their offseason. What's their move now?
Ugo.
That Cornette is out, and it sounds like Al Horford is on the way out as well. We'll do that with all your phone calls coming up next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe. On WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Rich. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock. WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. You just heard the news on Luke Cornette. That happened fairly early in NBA free agency last night. He's now a San Antonio Spur. How big of a loss, Mego, is that?
It's a pretty big loss in the sense that it was clear that he was a priority for the Celtics. So it makes you wonder how they're going to maneuver for the big position. Brad Stevens even said a couple days ago, like, Luke Cornette, Al Horford are the priorities. And that led a lot of people and other sources, a lot of people to believe, okay, they're going to try to flip Anfernee Simons in order to make room because they don't want to be in the repeater tax. They want to cut a certain amount of spending and then they can re-sign these big free agents. But I thought that Luke Cornette was going to get like maybe $8 million. So I don't know the specifics of by year what he's getting through this deal, but even the AAV is pretty big for Luke Cornette. And he's a 6 points per game guy. I love Luke Cornette. He's still more of a backup piece in my mind than on most NBA teams than a starter. You just look at where the Celtics sit today. There's a good chance Al Horford goes out west somewhere. And the Celtics are still either looking at Nemias Keita or Xavier Tillman to be their starting big. And that's a big jump from where those guys played last year.
So I was just going to ask you about Horford. Do you think he's a goner too?
I think most likely he is. Because if Horford is getting, I mean, if Cornette is getting this kind of money and Horford is signing most likely the last deal of his career, this is going to be a hard place for him to play next year. Again, it's not anything to disparage these guys' characters or anything. They've won rings with the Celtics. They've earned the ability to go out and get a lot more money somewhere else. A big part of the goal right now is to manage the salaries and manage the taxes here.
And so I think it might be some
that doesn't align with it.
I think that might be some of Horford reading the writing on the wall. It's like, you know, are they completely tearing it down? No. But no Porzingis, no Holiday. Those are two starters. One was in his way for minutes, but that might actually been beneficial to Horford. And who knows? More pieces could be on the move, as you just said. Hauser, Niang, Simons. And so Horford looks at it and goes, well, do I want to be part of a teardown or do I want to go try to win somewhere? And who can give me the most money? That's not going to be the Celtics, I don't think. So I agree he's a goner. We keep getting this text over and over again. Could be the same person. Could be a bunch of different people. I don't know. But every time we talk Celtics and bigs, we keep getting DeAndre Ayton. As a suggestion, he was bought out and maybe waived by the Portland Trailblazers, which means he's going to be getting his money from Portland. You might be able to get him at a discount, but if there's a market, he could get more money than that. Is that a name you'd be interested in?
I still think he's probably going to be too rich for the Celtics. I think what they're going to be looking for is pretty well, there's just a reading the situation, like pretty well below $10 million. And I'm not sure that he would even land there for you. Some of the other names that are still available, like Mo Wagner had the team, Orlando declined their team option. Larry Nance Jr. would be somebody who could actually spread the floor and be a nice little offensive addition as a big. I think both those guys are still going to be like in that $10 million plus range. And especially if you think that you're going to bring Horford back, you're not even looking at any of those names.
No, that's probably true. If you're carving out money, you're not getting Horford and another big. That's definitely the case. Meanwhile, we were telling you about Milwaukee earlier today. They signed Miles Turner. They waived Damian Lillard to free up cap space to bring in Miles Turner. Now, my inclination was that meant Giannis is going to stay. And I think the betting markets reflected that. As we said earlier, the Bucks zoomed up in terms of championship odds. Chris Haynes, where is he now? Is he Turner? Or is that even a thing anymore? He is, it says senior NBA insider. I don't know where he is anymore. YouTube channel coming soon. Breaking, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard. League sources tell me.
Giannis is a child.
Quote, he just didn't like how it was handled, is what Haynes said about Giannis. So, I don't know. What do you think all this means? Do you think this leads to Giannis's exit, or do you think Giannis is
massaging relationships?
Yeah, trying to look like the good guy here. He wasn't the one forcing Lillard out. So hey, let's get it out there through friendly media members. Let's get it out there that oh, he's actually pissed about it. He didn't like the way it was handled. I can't imagine they sign Miles Turner and waive Damian Lillard and keep Giannis in the dark. I can't imagine they do that, but
that would be a very bold move by the front office.
Maybe they're a more poorly run organization than I think.
That would be
a Red Sox move.
Extremely.
It is.
That would be extreme miscommunication, I would say, especially with the position that Giannis has been in the past several months. But I also think that there's this outside perspective from the casual fan who's looking at the situation with Dame Lillard, go, oh my God, that guy had the injury that Jason Tatum had, that Tyrese Halliburton had, and now they're just cutting him loose. So he's just going to go off and rehab on his own somewhere. Like, that's awful. And so I think it's probably Giannis doesn't want to look like he was complicit in that, because just from the outside, from a brand perspective, that looks cutthroat, you know? Like, nobody wants to be in line with that. Even if Dame's getting all this money, it still looks cutthroat.
So I agree. Like, if the Celtics traded Jaylen and it comes out that Jason Tatum is like, Tatum's not happy with this and he doesn't like how it was handled. The same exact report. I would assume that the Celtics ran it past Tatum. I would assume that on some level he signed off on it or was complicit, and he was just trying to damage any backlash he was about to get. So I would assume that with Tatum. I assume the same thing here. My guess is they didn't do this without Giannis's knowledge, and he's just damaging any blow.
If they
or getting in front of any damage.
They did it without Giannis's knowledge, that is a big deal.
Did I ask you this yesterday? I can't remember. You would trade Jaylen for Giannis, yes or no?
You didn't ask me that. I am insane. I don't think I would do it.
You wouldn't do that.
I don't want Tatum coming back with Giannis.
So Keith agrees with you. Keith also wouldn't do that deal. That's one of the very few these days I would do for Jaylen Brown.
I still live in a Tatum-centric world. like my Celtics revolve around the sun and stars of Jason Tatum, and I don't want Tatum coming back with Giannis. I don't think that, that's maybe the best situation.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. Our pal Bob is in Warwick. Hello, Bob.
Bobby?
Hey, Bob. Well, you know, as we learned with Bob yesterday, sometimes Bob...
sounded like he was waiting on a food order there.
Starts a little early. Well, who knows?
The guy is drunk.
Maybe he's at the Clam Shack?
Could be. Yeah, I'm not...
Maybe he's up in Essex at Woodman's?
Ooh, that's that would be
Have
a,
you
nice,
been there?
A nice spot. I've been there. I think I've only been there once, but lovely time. Yes,
delightful.
We went to, I don't even recall what beach, North Shore Beach. I'm sure Bradfo would be very snobby about it.
Thinking we, Singing Beach?
Yeah, I don't remember, but we went to the beach and then we went to, to Woodman's Essex. Yeah. Nice time.
It's a great day.
Took the kid. Great.
Wonderful.
Great little day is what
you guys
that
should
was.
Do a show at Woodman's.
Ooh.
Loop them in.
Well, yeah, as long as it's on land, I think
it's
that
very
would be
inland.
I think that would be approved.
Very safe.
617-779-7937. We got your feedback there. We can circle back to the Red Sox, which is what I know Bob wanted to discuss. And I also want to get this while Mego's here for these few days. I want to get Mego's outlook on the Patriots this season. Expectations for the team, expectations for Drake May. We can do some of that coming up as well next.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.